some refuses to be categorized. Podcast. My loves, welcome back to another Ask Leonie fucking anything session. I'm joined today by my lovely online business manager, Zita Norton.
Zita.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, honey. You're looking real cute. You're looking very cottagecore.
Oh, thanks. I've literally just rolled out of bed, had a shower, and put the first thing I could find on my floor on me. Yeah, so professional.
Babes.
Yeah, really nailing it today.
Yeah. I remember one day when I sprayed deodorant on my face instead of my face mist, and deodorant smell all over my face all day, and I thought, that's glamorous. I'm like a Maybelline girl.
Oh, yeah, that's really funny, and also absolutely something I would do too.
Right? Like, ooh, yeah. Like, I would also iron my boob. Like, that's absolutely something I would do.
Oh, thank you. Now I have to explain that. I mean, yeah. There's not much to explain. I was steam cleaning some clothes and noticed a wrinkle on the outfit I was wearing and steam cleaned myself and gave myself a second degree burn on my boob and had to go to hospital.
It happens to the best of us. Who doesn't have that story, you know? Like, well, psychopaths.
Yeah. And also, like, tell me you have ADHD without telling me you have ADHD. Mm. Like, I know people with ADHD have problems with object permanence. Like, I'm one of them. But I think I literally forgot that I existed.
It happens to me all the time. It's why they have, like, on the criteria, well, I don't know if the ADHD criteria, but the autism criteria, which much the muchness, but it's, do you have mysterious bruises and injuries on your body that you can't explain? Yes, I do.
Yeah, I think I was asked that in my ADHD assessment, and I was like, yes, moving on.
Like, I did Pilates 2 weeks ago and, like, just had the most enormous, like, huge black and purple bruise down my leg. And my Pilates was like, what have you done? That looks awful. And I was like, autism, I've got no fucking clue, boo.
Yeah, I can give you a list of maybe 5 pieces of furniture that are probably up there for things I've walked into this week, but don't ask me how or when, because it does not exist in my memory.
I didn't notice what happened. Oh my god, we're so cute, we're so adorable. Like, I'm just so relieved to only work with neurodiverse people now, because when I worked with neurotypical people, it's a real fucking killer.
It's definitely made all the difference for me, like, you know, obviously having worked before this through, like, hospitality and in, like, market research call centers and stuff. I'm like, where there's a huge array of different people, but, like, this has been so nice.
We're very free of diversity here. We're like, we're not into diversity, but, like, as in what we're into is only neurodiversity. Do you know what I mean? It's like only neurodiverse. Everyone else, go work somewhere else.
I love it.
It's a real monoculture of neurodiversity. And remember, like, you know, my best friend Tam, like, we were joking about before, like, at some point we thought she was a neurotypical and, like, she had been diagnosed with anything, and I was like, why are we such good friends? And then she got her ADHD diagnosis and we're like,
Yeah, you were one of us all the time.
Thank God. It all makes sense now, because it real confused me otherwise. I just realized we should probably answer some questions before, because we will just talk forever.
Yeah, that this is true. This is very true. This is like the problem, because we don't have frequent, like, Zoom meetings. We're not the kind of, like, boss and OVM who jump on Zoom, like, once a day, once a week, not even once a month. Oh my god, can you imagine? But then when we do jump on Zoom, I'm like, oh my god, I have to tell you about this rock that I found in the forest, and we will spend 25 minutes talking about the rock that I found in the forest.
Did you find a rock in the forest though? Because I am into this story.
I haven't, but I have been going foraging, which has been really fun.
Shut up. Have you been doing mushroom foraging?
Yeah, just taking photos and stuff. Like, it's been delightful. I've been posting them all over on my Instagram. I've sent some of them to you as well, because I know that
you sent me the mushroom the kids, pictures.
The mushroom pictures. Yeah, so that it's been delightfully really fun. I'm not so confident. I'm not confident enough in my identification skills yet to pick any. So I'm like, we'll just take photos and catalog, because I don't fancy dying.
I always kind of joke about mushrooms, how like God makes mushrooms, and like some of them are very delicious and a good protein source and good vitamins. Like some of them will make you see God, and some of them will just straight up fucking kill you, and you don't know which one, and you only find out through trial and error.
I know. I found one and it was like, this one is edible. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I could like put it in one of the HelloFreshes that I'm cooking. And then it was like, but it's also called the deceiver because it's very similar to four other species that will kill you. And I was like, backs away slowly. The deceiver. Anyway.
Mushrooms actually a practical joke. Like that.
I know.
It's a practical joke. Like, there's no other reasoning for them.
I know. They're so funky, though. I love them. Anyway, let's jump into some questions.
Okay. Oh, by the way, I am drinking from your cup. I appreciate you.
I love it.
It's from Quirky Cup Collective for everyone who's on video. If you're not on video, sucks to be you. It's very pretty. It's from Quirky Cup Collective. And it's a pretty gold moon.
I'll make sure to link her website in the show notes too.
Oh, she's awesome. She's so beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, well, so today's questions. Yeah, so they're around a bit of a theme. So today's sort of theme, I guess, is all about like the tools that we use and just different software. Customer service, all that kind of stuff. So we're really going to get into the nitty-gritty of it.
So like business mechanics, basically
yeah.
Nice.
So our first question is from the lovely Deborah, and Deborah asks, what tech are you using? I know you left Confusionsoft, which I wasn't sure if I was going to be filming this, so I left a note for Tam saying, note from Zeta, LMAO. What's your email client now? What is connecting to what? Is it ActiveCampaign, PayPal, Stripe, Kajabi? Tech is the bane of my existence and I'd love to simplify.
Sure. So if anyone ever wants to know what I'm using, you can go to leoniedawson.com/tools. I've got a whole big list there of what I use for what and links to all of them. So you can do that. But in terms, like I left Confusionsoft maybe 4 years ago. It's like when you came in, right? See, it's like you learned a bit of Infusionsoft. Yes. And then I was like,
yeah, so I probably used Infusionsoft for maybe 6 to 8 months. And then when you were like, we're swapping to Kajabi, I was like, I've never been happier. I hate it.
Like I so appreciate about you is that when I contacted you, like when we're thinking about working together, I was like, I work with Infusionsoft. Do you have any experience? And your response was so stellar. You said, no, I have no experience in that. However, I love learning new software. I'm always keen to learn and I will learn it on my own time because it's a really great skill for me to have. It was like such a win-win, you know, like for all of us. I was like, well, totally, if she's happy to learn it in her own time, then she's got her own skill set. So I just think that was such a great response for any VA to give. Is like, yeah, I can learn it. And if it was a skill that you wanted to learn, or if it was somebody you really wanted to work with, you just go, fuck yeah, I will. So anyway, we were doing Infusionsoft, and then to everyone's blessed relief, we fucking left. And we moved over to Kajabi, which I still use so Kajabi is more of an all-in-one solution in terms of like, it is my learning management software, learning something, LMS, whatever. It is where everyone like learns, gets all my courses. And then it can also send out emails. You can build websites through it. You can have affiliates through there. You can do a shit ton of stuff. And so it enabled me to wipe out like five other software programs. And I'm still very grateful to Kajabi for helping me simplify. And then last year, we ran into some issues with Kajabi's email deliverability rates and stuff like that. And a lot of people at the time were like, eh, we'll just work through it. They shit me off enough that I got all Scorpio and it was like, meh, as I am wont to do. And so we moved just the email component to ActiveCampaign. And like, I don't know how you feel about Zeeds, but I don't like love ActiveCampaign. It just does what it says on the box. It is expensive, but you know, yes, it's email deliverability is decent-ish.
Yeah, email deliverability is much better than Kajabi's, and it's relatively, it feels overwhelming when you first go into it, but then its usability is pretty decent. Like, you, whereas Infusionsoft was like, oh my god, I feel like I almost need to work for Google to be able to run this. But it's still, it's good, but it's like, it, Kajabi, when we first started using it, was like, oh, this is so shiny and new and everything's so clean and it works. And then obviously when that stopped working for us with emails and we swapped to ActiveCampaign, I was like, great, ActiveCampaign is just there. It does exactly, like you said, what it does on the box.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. And in terms of like how it works on the back end, so I, you know, I do have PayPal and Stripe set up, but that is through Kajabi. So like you set it up to integrate with Kajabi. So you're buying through Kajabi's checkout system. So we don't hold any, like we don't really like hold like credit card, we don't hold any credit card detail for anyone. It's all, no, we've got none of that information. And so, which is really good because it means that, you know, we can't really have data breaches and things like that for credit cards. So that works really well for us. Did I answer all parts of that question?
You did, yeah. The only thing I'd add is, and this is something I manage, in order to connect Kajabi to ActiveCampaign, so obviously if someone purchases through Kajabi, we'd like them to be added to our email list so that they can get updates and, you know, course information. In order to do that, we use a product called Zapier. And Zapier basically just, every time someone does anything through Kajabi, they're added to the relevant list in ActiveCampaign. And that's the only other like connecting software, I suppose, we use.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Do we have Zapier on our tools page?
I added it. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Look at you go.
I know. Yeah, I'm so fancy.
Someone's on top of it.
Yeah.
All right, on to the next question.
Well, before we go on to the next question, my housemate has just rocked up with a puppy. Would you and everyone like to see the puppy?
Do you even ask, Philby? Melvin.
And he's bought me a cup of tea. So
you are the hottest thing ever made, Bill. Oh my god, look at look at his little face. Oh. Such a good bouncer. How do you even cope? How do you get work, any work done whatsoever, Bilbs?
I just wait until he's asleep, and then for like 20% of his naps I'm staring at him, and then for the other 80% I can squeeze in a little bit of work.
Nice work-life balance. What, work-life dog balance?
Yes, that's it.
How much bigger is he going to get?
So I Googled this today because people keep asking and I keep saying he'll probably get like at least twice this size. Like he'll keep growing for a while. But I Googled today and apparently Chihuahuas stopped growing around the 9-month mark. He is currently 5 months old. So I hope he gets a bit bigger so I'm not terrified to sleep in a bed with him, but he's not going to get too much bigger than that.
Oh my God. So it's like a teacup apple headed.
You just an apple with tiny parents. That's all. But he would fit in a teacup if you wanted to.
Guys, if you're not watching this on video, you are fucking missing out. most cursing I've ever seen. Wait, I'll go get the kids.
Okay.
Okay. Wait.
No, we're a little bit too squirmy to sit like a cutie, but.
Oh, you're so special. Look how good you are sitting. You're so good at sitting and being and existing and looking. Look at your way your ears go. You're the most perfect creation I've ever seen. Oh, and like both of you as well. And the dog.
Mikasa, don't listen.
Oh, sorry, Mikasa. You're our supreme ruler. We are your loyal subjects. Please don't injure us.
All right. Have fun with the rest of it, you guys. We'll,
bye.
Bye.
Oh, love you, little me. You're the cutest ever.
Love you too.
Bye.
Oh my God. That was the greatest. Thank you for everything.
A brief interlude. I shall do some editing of the audio of this podcast, cut some bits out. We can shorten that. But yeah, puppy. Yeah.
What a treat.
Isn't he perfect?
I'm the most luckiest girl in the world.
All right. Let's jump back into boring questions that aren't about puppies.
Ew. Why would we?
No, they're very good questions. And our next question is from the lovely Suzanne, who has asked, I would enjoy hearing about how you decided upon Kajabi and how it's worked for you. I'd also like to know what your skill set is and what skill sets you've hired to help you get online.
Mm. So Kajabi, I went back to, I'd gone through kind of a simplification mode in my business. So, you know, I went from having 25-ish staff to over a period of time reducing it down intentionally because I didn't like managing a large team. It wasn't enjoyable for me whatsoever. And it felt like I'd gotten further and further away from the things that I loved. And what I love is just, I love creating and I love sharing and connecting with the people that I share those creations with. And when you have a lot of staff, like all of a sudden you're managing people and your job is managing drama instead of doing the thing you love. By around, I think I was around 2018, 2019, I was like, right, okay, well, I wanted to like reclaim my business fully. I wanted to simplify it and make it manageable so that I can tinker with it as much as I like, because we'd gotten to the point where it got so conflatable using all these software things to go together. So I needed staff in order to create web pages and to, you know, make lead magnets and checkouts and all that kind of stuff. So I couldn't create on the fly by that point. And so I was like, I need to reclaim it so that I can work with those creative urges I have in me, because that's how I'm built. And so when I looked around, Kajabi seemed like the right solution for that. And it definitely worked on that front because it was really easy to set up. Their live support at the time was amazing. Like if you get stuck, you could just like chat their live support. I don't know if it's quite as good as it used to be. I haven't chatted with them for a while.
Yeah, I haven't either. The last time I did, I think they weren't able to solve the problem, but then I messaged you and you were like, oh no, the last time I spoke, the guy gave me a hack.
Oh yeah.
That we're not meant to know about. And I was like, okay, thank you. So it also depends on who you get as well.
This is true. In those beginning days, it was just fucking blissful. I couldn't stop talking about Kajabi because it just made so much sense for me. Yeah. And, you know, and you hadn't used Kajabi before either. And so we were just kind of like working it out. I really didn't want to hire tech contractors anymore. Like I'd already done that and they're very, very expensive. And it means that things take a lot longer to get done. Whereas like I prefer a bit of a DIY approach to stuff. So it just worked for us to build those skills within ourselves. Both you and me can do basically whatever we want now in the business to keep it rolling. And I know that that's not like every person's desire and that's fine, but it's what works for me. You're just going to work towards your strengths. Zita and me don't have a tech background. Like we don't have any qualifications whatsoever in tech. We're just really good at Googling stuff and searching on YouTube, you know, for tutorials or live chatting, like chatting with the support to find out what the fuck do we do here.
Yeah, well, and also I think like helping our older relatives do things. Or at least that's what I spend a lot of time doing. But then again, Mum rang me the other day and was like, I need you to help me set up the Wi-Fi printer. And I was like, I can't do this over the phone. And then she messaged me a little while later and was like, thank God for YouTube video tutorials. And I was like, well done. The easier the better. That's what we like.
Yes, we love that. So yeah, in terms of outsourcing, like what skills I hire, you know, I've gone through the process of hiring a lot of other skills. And for me personally, I just didn't find it as useful. I know that other people's journey is very different. And also if you're building a business to sell or to be able to step away from, absolutely, you need to like hire all different kinds of skill sets. For me, in a business that's, it's not going to last longer than me because it's me. You know, it is my identity and who I am. I don't need to have a big team, and it was counterproductive to my desires. So now I just hire people that I can get along with who have a can-do attitude, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, and in terms of contractors, like we've got our tech guy, Lewis, who we use very sporadically, probably maybe once or twice a year, if that. And it's usually to fix like major things that break, or we wanted to add hacking or like Google capture forms and going through the back end of Google. We were just like, no, this is way too complicated. And then the last 3 years have all just merged together, but at some point we were doing Facebook advertising and we did use a couple of different contractors to sort of run all the back end of that, but then there was also discussion of me learning how to do it, which I was down to do, and if we ever went back to it I'd be down to do again, but in the end we were like, nah, fuck off social media, that's enough. So yeah, we didn't have to worry about it. But yeah, I think that's been probably the only two contractors I've worked with since working for you.
Yeah and then like we've got our customer service person Lydia, who is just part-time. And my best mate, Tim, who like I've worked on and off with for years. And so she's doing the incubator with us at the moment to help coach at that. She's my accountability coach. Zita actually used to work for her. And now, what do you have to work for her instead? We're incestuous.
It's great.
In a cute way. And ethical. I don't know. We can't
stop that thought. Okay. Don't you love that when your brain's like pulling all the levers to stop the train and the train just keeps going?
It just keeps on going. It just wants to go all the way.
Yeah. And in terms of like what your skill set is, I think that can pretty much be answered by everything that I do, you know how to do, but why would you spend your time doing it when you could be spending your time being creative or coming up with new things or spending time with family, like even outside the business? And so I always say to people, like I wrote a blog post a little while back on how to hire a VA and when, like, when do you need to hire a VA? And one of my sort of points was it's a good idea for you to know at least the basics of, if you're hiring a VA who's focusing on graphic design, you know what you want in that. And to know what you want means having some sort of understanding of color palettes and graphic design elements. And so, I think if you're wanting to hire someone for something, at least knowing what you want is a good start, and that's a skill in itself, really. Because I've worked for I've done very quick contract work for people who are like, oh, I want a logo, and I'm like, well, cool. What colors do you like, and what sort of shapes and what sort of vibe and feel do you want? And they have no idea how to answer that question, and that makes my job difficult because then I don't know what they want. So skill sets are, you can definitely hire people, but it's always a good idea to have some knowledge of what you want done.
Yeah for sure. And like with you, like one of the big things that I've done with you over the years is like really train you how to do copywriting, because it's an essential part. So copywriting, it's what I teach in SalesStar. It's about how to use words, create sales pages, create emails that sell and that really bring in the bucks. Like that's a very big component of my business. And through lots of ways. So I've like given Zeta books, we've bought courses. And, you know, I had old training materials that I'd created as well that I gave her about it. Of course, she has all the access to all of my programs. And then, you know, I'd give her feedback on like how to improve sales emails and stuff when she first started doing them. I think that was a really good skill to build up with you. And even when I look at the expenses now, like at least $2,000 a month goes to books and courses that the company buys, you know, we're just constantly educating ourselves.
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm. No, I'm very grateful for it. I've learned a lot.
It's been so fun.
Yeah, it really has. And that actually talking about SalesStar sort of leads really nicely into our next question from Nancy, who asks, what's a good way to sell digital products? I don't have a website and was wondering if I should create a sales page and list my digital goods.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes,
that's it. And if you need any additional help with your sales page, you can go to leoniedawson.com/sell.
That's it. Agreed. I actually did a SalesStar coaching call this morning for our live round, and two people asked me to review their sales page, and I looked at one and she'd used the sales page checklist in SalesStar, and it was impeccable, like amazing sales page, amazing. She did so incredible. And people were looking at it, they were like, holy shit, that sales page is so great. And I was like, I actually don't have any feedback for you because you've done exactly what I've told you to do. You've ticked off everything on the list. And sometimes people will half ass it and they'll like tick off half the things and they want to commit, like want me to have feedback about it. And I was like, okay, the feedback is finish the checklist. And then the other person was like, oh, can you have a look at mine? And I said, well, before I look, have you used the sales page checklist? And she said, no, I haven't got to that yet. And I was like, I'll look at it once you've used the checklist, because all I'm going to be saying to you is go use a checklist.
Use the checklist. Yeah.
Checklist. Because there's heaps of components to the sales page and you need to like build them. Like it's always like building Lego blocks into place in order to make it sell. Yeah. And you know, like people are always like, yeah, but I don't really want to do that. And I was like, well, you don't like money then. If you don't want to sell, that's fine. But don't tell me you want to sell and don't take the time to do a proper sales page or a website.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Nancy goes on to say, for example, a product like what to feed your senior dog, how to navigate epilepsy, how to apply for social security. And the only thing I would say is just do a those are very different, three different things to each other, so you would do a separate sales page for all three. I think some people think they can just list every product they've ever sold on the one page, and that's not a sales page. No, that's a landing page or a shop page.
You can have a web page. Like you absolutely will need a web page, talk about you, and then you go like, here's the three products I offer, but then those products are linked to the sales pages where they really sell you on that thing.
Exactly. So our next question is from Malaika or Malaika. I do apologize if I have pronounced your name incorrectly. And they ask, what system do you use to handle customer service inquiries? What system do you use to share sales orders with your manufacturers?
Oh, the emails we keep are pretty simple. We have used something like a Zendesk before, but I found it was just complete overkill, especially for 1 hour size. We just use Gmail, and we it's branded, you know, it's like Google Business, so and it's branded with our URL. So when you're emailing support at leoniedawson.com, it comes through our Gmail, and we're sending back under that address. Our assistant, we've got it like fairly systematized. So our customer service person goes in 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and just goes through the emails one by one by one. Starts from the back of the queue, like, you know, the oldest email gets answered first. And we have the canned responses set up in there, like templates. So because, you know, 80% of the inquiries are ones that we get all the time. And so they get like kind of a canned response back that then gets like altered to make sure that it answers every part of the question. For, you know, if she needs to forward it on to you or me for feedback on something that she doesn't know the answer to, gets sent to us, and it all gets cleared like down to zero by the end of that session. Takes her about between 3 and 5 hours a week to do all our customer service emails. And we have about 10,000 students a year. So we have a lot of clients, but, you know, we try and pre-answer questions for as long as we can. And we also did our project 10%, where we reduced the time. We halved the time, actually, that we spent in our inbox. And you can find that at some shit if you Google Leonie Dawson project.
I'll link it in the show notes.
Oh, thank you. Nice. Did I answer that question, Paul?
Yes, you did. The other question was, what system do you use to share sales orders with your manufacturers?
It depends on what manufacturer it is, really. So when we were doing print on demand through Lulu Express, we had Shopify and it was all integrated. Zeta would have to do some follow-up sometimes to fix shit.
don't bring it up. I was spending like 3 hours a day for close to 6 months just in the customer service inbox.
Yep. Fixing Please product don't orders.
Speak to me about that time.
that was intense. So needless to say, we don't do that anymore. Yes. We also have had to, like, we had it over, we were all like doing workbooks, and we had 3 different distribution houses. They each had their own tech system set up, and so we would just have to build tools to work around their tech systems, really, as in, like, sometimes it was like a daily or twice daily email shoot that sent the CSV file, and we try to automate it as much as possible. But yeah, it really depends on what your people, what they need in order to spit it out, and how much you can techify it as much as possible.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And I mean, like, we also we've used and still use Etsy for some things. So obviously, like, that's a digital product that's available on Etsy right now. So again, Etsy manages that. We just have listed the product, people purchase it, Etsy sends them the download. But yeah, usually if you're selling a physical product and you have a manufacturer, you will use something like Shopify and then a relevant plugin.
The Shopify. Get your shit shipped. I hope there's a plugin that's like got that as a tagline.
That'd be great. Yeah. Cool. All right. Our next question is from Laura. And Laura would like to know your opinion on affiliate payments when the customer chooses a payment plan. If customers have payments spread out over 3 or even more payments, then when do affiliates get paid and how do you keep track of that?
Oh, yeah. Ours is automatic, so they just get a straight percent. So they get 50%. And so every time someone makes part of their payment plan, affiliates will get just the 50% of that. I'm like, if somebody has a payment plan and like then I like pay somebody in full, not gonna work, like, you know, because there's going to be issues. So just a straight percent is good, instead of doing like, oh, you know, if they buy this product they get $50 or whatever, percent works fine. And for us, we don't even really need to track it, it's all automatic in Kajabi. Yeah, we love that.
Yeah, it's great. The only downside, and this would be the case with any software, is that if someone defaults on their payment plan, it means that the affiliate does not get a percentage paid. But that is obviously a sort of an inbuilt risk for both, you know, the entrepreneur selling and creating and also the affiliate. If you offer a payment plan, people will default on those payment plans. So unfortunately, that's the downside. Excellent. Rosa asks, hi Leonie, I would love to learn from you how to create your style digital or handmade artwork, illustrations that you include in your emails, blog and website.
Sure. I did a whole podcast episode on this about like how I do my digital illustration. If you go to leoniedawson.com/tools as well, I've got links to what I use. For the vast majority of my creative career, it was all hand drawn with ink pens, and then I would like paint the backgrounds, and then I would digitally collage them to the two together to kind of color it without having to paint every single image. But during the pandemic, I bought myself an iPad and Apple Pen, and started playing around with Procreate, which is an app on there, and now I think everything I do is digital illustration using that. I did actually like upgrade to the iPad like Pro Max kind of version, like the big, like the thick bitch that's really expensive, with the Apple Pen 2, and I just found it too big and too hefty and I didn't like it. And so now my kids use it to scribble on. And I just went back to the basic bitch Apple iPad. It's so
But what funny. Works, works.
Right? What works, works. I thought the big one would be better for like creating all the books and stuff. But there's something about just like a basic bitch Apple iPad that's just a phenomenal size.
Well, that makes total sense, because like, so my main work computer is just an iMac, just a desktop iMac. But then I also, and it's relatively new, I think I bought it in 2018, maybe even 2019. But like, I've had what I'm on right now, which is my MacBook Pro, a 2011 model, I think. And I've had this since 2014. And I mean, I use my iMac a lot. Like, for the most part, that's the computer I use. But I have been using my laptop for the last, like, 4 weeks. And I think it stemmed from I had COVID. And so I was just on my laptop the whole time. And I was like, oh, I have missed being curled up in a very uncomfortably looking shape with a laptop shoved under the covers just working away. So it's just what works for you, I think.
It is. And I'm actually exactly the same as you. I have the Apple Air, like the MacBook Air, 2013 edition, I think. And because I like the way the keyboard is on it, and I didn't like the 2018 kind of style, I've gone back to this keyboard now, but I even bought a second one of these, and it was like an old one that would just be sitting in the warehouse of Harvey Norman for 4 years, and I bought it
just in case, just so you have an emergency backup
keyboard plan, because I don't use anything else. I don't use a main computer or anything like that, just always laptop, so I can curl up on bed, look bed, nice.
I love it. Brilliant. Well, the next question is, Jenny asks, do you have a content producing marketing system? It's hard to stay consistent and focused while looking after students and creating new courses.
Yeah, for sure. We don't really have a system. Like, we've got a spreadsheet where we try and map out what content we're going to produce over the next, you know, few months or whatever. But, you know, sometimes shit gets busy and then it just falls to the side. And that's okay. And then it's more like, oh, fuck, what am I going to create this week? Oh, let's give it a go. And honestly, like, that unplanned approach is how 99% of the time in the last 20 years of doing this, it gets produced. Like, I get the idea of planning. It's just not something I'm very capable of or interested by.
Yeah. I think probably the closest thing we come to planning is we do have SOPs or standard operating procedures for content producing, in terms of like all the steps that you and I both need to do in order to create and then launch a new product, which is obviously super helpful because there's so much involved that it is easy to forget stuff. Mm-hmm. And we use Asana, a sort of task management program, to do that, where we've just got basically lists under different headings for what we need to do for the sales page, what we need to do for different aspects of the launch. But other than that, most of the time I find out about a launch at the same time as everyone else, because I just get an email from Leonie, the same email that everyone else gets. It's like, babes, new course is open. And I'm like, oh, fucking hell, it's 10:30 at night. But it's great. It works well. And I'll just message Leonie the next morning and be like, okay, what am I doing? And now I don't even need to do that. I'm like, okay, I know what I'm doing. So it works well.
It does work well. I used to drive other people just absolutely fucking bananas because I'd want to just do something like, you can't. Like, we've got the team on this and we're going to do that. So now I'm just like, oh, we're going to do it and we'll see what happens. I never know when it's going to launch until it's like, oh, okay, I can launch right now. Like, if somebody said to me, you have to launch something on this date, dead in the water, can't. But like,
yep,
ride that wave of energy and I'll just be like, I will do what the fuck whenever I want. And then I'm always so grateful for like how you respond to it though, because you're like, oh my God, this looks amazing. I'm so excited. This is going to be so great. And, you know, I can do this, this, and this, and this to support you. Is there any other things that you want me to support you with? Like, how can I help you? Like, what do you need from me? And I always just so appreciate that response of like celebration and support.
Yeah. Well, and also I think like I'm naturally quite an anxious person, and so if I knew well in advance, it'd just give me time to worry. Whereas you just cut that out for me, and so I'm like, oh, this is just joy. Excellent. Okay, I can cope with this.
yeah it's true. Like, I'm not, I don't really worry about anything, so much so like we've got our house up for sale at the moment, our other house, and my husband is very much a worrier. And I said to him, look, just this once, I'll manage the sales process. Like, I will manage like how I want it staged. I will manage like what agent I want to use. I want to like, I'll do whatever I want to the house in order to prepare for sale. You don't have to think about anything, baby. Because usually he like takes the lead on everything. And he's like, actually, that might be nice to not have to freak out about everything. And we've already got an offer and we're in negotiations today. And his instinct is just to say yes to any offer, like, because he wants to stop that like fear and anticipation and the freak out mode. And I'm like, no, just leave it up to Leonie's hands, and you know, we'll just spend some time doing some negotiations. And so he was like, how are you feeling? I'm like, fine. Like, I didn't even it's fine. Everything's fine.
I love it.
I'm even wearing a t-shirt. Hardcore happiness. Noise.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like
worry-free. Worry-free since 83 and before, because I was born in 82, but it didn't rhyme.
You spent the first year of your life just absolutely catatonic with worry, and then you were fine.
Actually, I was born in November, so it's only 2 months of being catatonic with worry.
Oh, wow. Well. And then you experienced a lifetime of worry in 2 months, and then
it was like a Kudakata from January 1st onwards.
Oh my God, the dream.
Oh,
Yeah, perfect. Well, so I've got a few different questions now from Dora. So Dora is totally new to the world of blog posts and was wondering whether you could help them with what programs work best for creating artistic content for blog posts.
Oh, you know, if you're not somebody who does it yourself, as in terms of like an artiste or illustrator using something like Procreate or hand-drawn stuff that gets scanned in, people always use Canva. Otherwise, I'd say Canva's pretty much the go-to now. And it's you can get it for free. Nice.
Yep, that's exactly it. And I mean, if you're creating your blog posts through something like Squarespace or Wix, they also have a lot of different themes and sort of design elements that are inbuilt that you can choose from. So you don't even have to do it yourself. So you've got lots of different options.
So many. Man, like I started my blog in 2004 on Blogspot.
Oh.
And I HTML coded the website myself on like Notepad because that's all I could do.
Do you wanna know something funny?
Yes, please tell me everything.
I was 10 when you were doing that.
It's like a funny or if it's more of a fucking burn old lady.
Yeah, so the for those of you who are listening to audio, the look that Leonie just gave me. Okay, yes, anyway, sorry.
I'm an old lady, that's why I tell Bilby your roommate, like it's just Auntie Betty calling, you know, just Auntie Betty sending her well wishes.
I love it. Yeah. So Dora's next question was, what's the best program for storing email lists?
Okay, well, it's usually stored in whatever email provider you're using. So we use ActiveCampaign, of course, and Kajabi does have quite a lot of our data as well, like our client contacts. Because it's, you know, we've been using it for dual purposes for quite a while. But in terms of storing it, to be honest, we don't actually keep copies of it. We just leave it up to the software. At a certain point, I did like make a point that we would like download a copy of our list every single month, but we haven't in years. Cedar's got no idea what I'm talking about. So clearly I haven't done it in 3.5 years.
The only time I've downloaded the list was when we moved from Kajabi to ActiveCampaign. So
there we go. We've got one that's 2 years old.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I think it's just a matter of, like, I mean, yeah, if you're just looking to store it, I mean, probably just download a CSV file and save it on your computer. But if you're looking at something to run it, then yeah, we've used ActiveCampaign, Kajabi. For myself, I use MailChimp. They're great for starting out.
MailerLite's pretty good for starting out as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there's
Dora's next. Sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
Dora's next question is, are there any courses you recommend I do, other than yours, of course, for learning how to create using Photoshop or other programs, etc.?
YouTube's usually got shit tons of stuff on there. And when we were like having to go like learn how to do InDesign and Photoshop and stuff like that, we found a lynda.com subscription kind of helpful. So it's lynda.com. And they're like a subscription that you can pay for and you get access to all of their courses on there. And they've got a lot of Photoshop stuff on there. I will say, however, they are boring as batshit because they're intentionally trying to be as rage as possible. out of interest, you can get lynda.com subscriptions usually for free sometimes from via your library. Usually libraries have their own subscription to it that you can access through them.
It's really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And Dora's last question is, what works better for you computer/laptop wise, Microsoft or Apple?
Yeah, so I've been using MacBooks MacBook Air since forever. I used to be on PC. That changed around 2005, maybe, because a friend of mine lent me his Mac computer. He's like, just try it for the weekend, doll. And I was like, and then I was like, and I'm like, I am fucking selling up my piece of shit laptop and I'm getting myself one of these bitches. And that's what I did.
Yeah, I have single-handedly destroyed every like Microsoft PC that I've ever owned or was in my family home. I, in my last PC computer, melted Easter eggs accidentally into the fan because I just chucked my laptop on my bed, not realizing that there was an open Easter egg. And it just, I mean, the computer had a great time because it got to eat a whole Easter egg. But yeah. Max fans come out the keyboard, so if I did that, it wouldn't be a problem with the Mac. But
right, we nail it. I just find them so much more durable and easy. But honestly, it's whatever works for your brain. It's whatever works for your brain. I just don't want to go back to a PC ever again because these are like they're so much more kind of unbreakable. They're so much more solid. They don't fuck up as much. They're just it's good.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. Our last question of the episode is from Shez, who has to be Australian with a name like Shez. Hell yeah. And Shez asks, how do you decide on your pricing?
Oh, whatever the fuck you feel like, basically. That's my way of dealing with it. So whatever feels like a good fit for you, whatever feels like a good place to start it. And remember that you can change it at any time. You can increase the price, you can reduce the price. You can see what works for you. Like I've sold, you know, from like I've got one program at the moment, it's like $7 maybe. I've got courses for $100, $200, $300. I think that's the highest at the moment. But you know, then I also sold like incubator small group coaching program for $5,000. I've run retreats for $6,000 a person. I used to sell courses at $1,000. Like I've sold at all different price points. It's really just like what feels like a good fit for you and testing and see what works for your audience. And if you're in alignment with it, really, if you and your people are in alignment, cool. I do tend to like sell at the lower price point usually because I like to teach more people than less. And also, like, if you're selling at a higher price, you do need to spend more time selling. And so I tend to sell at a lower price point because I don't have to spend as much time selling. I still need to sell, though. Just to be clear, I do still need to sell. Like, that doesn't get me, like, exempt me from having to do a sales page or, like, do proper copywriting or a launch. But it's not as intensive as, like, a $2,000 program.
Yeah, well, that's it. You've smashed it. You've answered all our tech tool service software questions.
I need enough. Like, I would give myself 10 out of 10 for that.
Yeah, I would too. I think we've done great. There was, I mean, we've had great answers, great questions, puppy.
Yes.
And I got brought a cup of tea. So really,
yes,
it's perfect.
I don't think there's nothing more we could do to improve upon perfection. All right, my darlings, thanks for listening. The show notes will show you all the snazzy shit. You'll be very excited to see all those links and the pictures of the puppy because that's the most important thing here. All right, bye.
Love it.
Bye.